Oh, all right. Let's move on. Let's move our focus to studying God's word and asking ourselves how we fit with how God has presented himself and asked us to present ourselves in life. And so this morning we're going to continue in Proverbs chapter 6. I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. Proverbs chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse number 16. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Father, we ask you today to help us recognize our own faults in life, the areas that we need to improve and to work on, Lord, that we need your help with in clearing up. Lord, we want to honor you as you have honored us. We want to show our love for you and for our neighbor as you have shown it to all of us. And Father, we know sometimes in life the world makes it hard. We make it hard ourselves. But we're asking, Father, to help strengthen us and to give us wisdom so that we can see our faults, so we can see our need to improve, so we can see your strength that is there to help. And Lord, that we can do this in you and to your glory and to your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Is the microphone working okay? Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. I don't hear an echo. Do y'all hear an echo? No. Okay. All right. So this morning we have picked up where we have already been the last few weeks here in Proverbs chapter 6. And there are a few things that we've looked at. The proud look, the lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and the wicked heart that is within all of us. We've talked about these things. Now we're talking about feet that are swift in running to evil. And what I want you to understand is that God has set himself up as the measure of what is good and what is righteous. And there's nothing else that we can measure it by. Because God is the one who gives us moral direction and moral law and helps us to understand the difference between sin and righteousness. Sometimes we get so full of ourselves and so anxious to do what we want to do, we forget how to serve God, how to honor God, how to love God. And yet in every day of our faults and failures, God has never forgotten us. He's never forgotten how to love us or to care for us. He has never forgotten his promise that he'll never leave nor forsake nor abandon us. And he keeps calling to us to be his children, to be his family. And so it's good for us to review these things because there are things that God says he just will not have any part of. He won't tolerate even. After a certain point, he sets up a roadblock, and if we keep going, we're going to crash. And God wants us to know that there is some things in life we need to put a finality to within our own character flaws. There are things we need to work on and to get it right, to ask for God's help. You know, we've got the Holy Spirit with us, don't we? To help us and to guide us, to teach us and to show us. And so he's asking us to be these kind of people, those kind of people who avoid the things that he doesn't like. And he's given us this list, and we're talking about feet that are swift to running to evil. I have met people in my life, I dare say I have been one at times, when I was anxious to get on that path, running to doing something wrong. How about you? You ever been there? I might have tripped over you when I was going by. I don't know. all of us have sin in our life, don't we? We all have failed in the eyes of God. And even once we find our salvation in Christ and we have peace with God through the atoning work of His blood, we still struggle with the roots of sin that are in us. And so it's a battle every day. And we're running a race. In fact, we're not just running to sin. We're running a race to be what God wants us to be. We're running a race. We've set our focus on the goal, which is heaven and honoring God and living in peace forever and ever and not facing the judgment that's coming. So we're running one of two ways, serving self or serving God. Serving the world in all of its ways or serving God and struggling to be what He wants us to be. You know, it's never really hard to struggle when we're trying to be what the world wants us to be. It never is hard. There's no struggle there. But when we try to turn and go the other way, that's when resistance begins to show itself. We begin to feel that. How many of y'all have ever had a car, you were racing down the road, and it was an automatic? Y'all know what an automatic is, right? You're driving, you're going forward, racing down the road. You're not going too fast because you don't want to tear the car up. I'm mindful of young folk doing this a lot too. And then all of a sudden throwing it into reverse and stomping on the gas. You ever seen anybody do that? How many of you have ever seen those black tire marks in the road that look like a donut where they went one way and then they looped back and went the other way? You ever wonder how they did that? I'm not telling you from experience. You know, but when you throw that thing in reverse, you meet resistance. That's the same thing in life. When we're trying to turn away from the world and go the other direction, the direction that God is leading in, we meet resistance, and there's going to be marks that are left. They show the signs of a struggle. Not that you were doing anything wrong, like changing gears in a car when you shouldn't have been, but that you struggled with life and trying to turn around to follow God. There's going to be marks in you. It's just going to be there because you're going to have struggles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have failures and guilt that comes with that. There is a race. Paul said in Corinthians, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. We're all running this race that is life. We all are running this race that is life. I tell you, when I was running the race of the world, I don't think I ever ran out of breath. How about you? But when you try to run for God, it's easy to find yourself losing your breath, growing tired and weary. Why does the world hate me? Well, because you belong to Christ. Because you're trying to serve Christ. Because you're different in Christ. A new creation. He's changed you. And that is conflict with the world. It's constant conflict with the world. There are things that God says are true and they will not change. There are things that God identifies as sin and it will not change. God does not mature as mankind gets older. He doesn't relent and say, you know, I might have been a little harsh 1,000 years ago. I'm going to relax. I'm going to relent a little bit. I understand. They're not bad people. God doesn't do that. There's a price to pay for sin, and His Son paid it. And it costs the same through every generation, His Son. And God will not water down the work of His blood for any generation. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand that if we're going to run this race and we're going to run it to obtain the prize, we must do it with focus and determination and dedication. We must see what it is that we're trying to do and where it is we're trying to get. And we must be determined that I'm not going to give up no matter what. And dedicated no matter what the cost. No matter how heavy the cross. Jesus said if we're not willing to take up our cross and follow Him, then we can't be His disciples. He's not saying that He's kicking us out. He's reflecting the truth that if we can't carry our cross, then we're walking away from Him. It's always about how we fail, how we give up, how we lose focus. God's not going to give up on us. But when we turn away from God and embrace the world, we become an abomination. We become that which God says, I don't like. I can't take this. And He's calling us to be different. This isn't just one day out of the week He's calling us to be different. He's calling us 7 days, 24/7, to be different. He's not saying that we can live for 6 days any old way that we want. We can't just throw the seeds to the world and then come in on Sunday and ask for crop failure. Because it's not going to happen. We're going to face the consequences of our life. And the things that we plant in life, they are going to show. Wheats, tares, it's going to grow. It's going to be there. Sometimes it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt sometimes. Working in a garden. You know, how many of you ever worked in a garden and got stung by a bee? Bit by an ant. Well, it's not just one ant. There's always a bunch of them dudes around. And you just wonder why. Why can't I get rid of these ants? But we work hard to get rid of them, don't we? In life, even if we work hard to get rid of the faults we have in life, we're still going to have those things that come back and bite us. That's going to grow around our ankle and try to trip us. We're going to have problems. But we're not here to do this alone. That's why we have each other. That's why we come together in fellowship here at Florida Town. We're here for one another. If someone is having a problem, then let us know. If you have a friend that has offered their shoulder, then use the shoulder. That's what it's there for. Offer yours when a time is needed. But come together in fellowship and learn how to run this race focused on Jesus. And being what He wants us to be. Dedicated to loving Him as He has loved us. And I'm determined that the world's going to know that I love Christ. And it's not going to be because I'm a perfect example. I'm going to tell you right now. Y'all know that, right? It's not going to be because I'm a perfect example. And I'm not going to look for Christ in you because you're perfect either. I'm going to look for Christ in someone who has failed and continues to strive to be back at that place where God is trying to get them. If we fail and we have that guilt and we carry that pain and that suffering and we come back to Christ and we're trying our best to get ourselves in that relationship and to find that forgiveness, that's what I'm looking at. Perfection is not something that you should ever go to church to find. It's been said too many times, we need to be reminded. Church is not a hotel for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Okay? And that's what we are here for. Fellowship and love. Growth. Restoration. Healing. Help. And to serve. providing those things to others, honoring God as He has honored us. It is a race. Let's run this race to obtain the prize. And the prize being that day that we can stand before Christ and hear Him say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Isn't that going to be a wonderful thing to hear? Amen. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But it's difficult. Being a disciple is difficult. And if you look in Luke, Jesus really begins to help us understand the level of difficulty involved here. I'm going to just share a small portion. Luke chapter 14, you find these words: "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, I want to take a moment, though, because we need to talk about this. Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and brothers and sisters, wife and children, even his own life." I want you to understand something in Scripture. This is one of those places where cultural transitions in language just don't really say what is meant to be heard. We hear Jesus say, "If you don't hate your mother and father," and so on and so forth, that we can't be His disciples. He's not telling us to hate anyone. I want you to understand this. Because even in the Ten Commandments, what's number 5? Love and honor your mother and your father. So He's not telling us now that we should hate them. What He's telling us is that there is a degree of love that must be exhibited towards God and towards the rest of those in our life. And God must come first. Our level of love must begin with God. And if we're loving God the way we ought to, the rest of those are going to fall right in line anyway. Even in the Ten Commandments, where does it begin? Loving God. And so what we ought to begin understanding in our life is this. If He's telling me that there has to be a degree of love for Him compared to all the other blessings I have in life, my mom and my dad, my wife, my children, and even myself, then why is there that degree of love? Because only one of them is going to lead you in the proper and the true path of love and compassion and righteousness. How many of you know your mom and dad can lead you astray? How many of you know that your wife can lead you astray? Or your husband? Yeah. How many of you know your children can get you in trouble? You understand what I'm saying? When I surrendered to the call of ministry and I left the Navy and I was in my church up there in South Carolina, and everybody knew that I got out to go to school so I could end up go to ministry. And so somewhere along the way, that means following God's will somewhere else in life, not there in that church. You know, I had one in particular individual telling me I shouldn't go. "You don't need to go. You need to stay right here. Don't you think God can use your service right here?" Well, God can use our service anywhere. But when He's trying to restrict me or to hold me back from following God after God has already told me it's time to go, then who am I following? Am I so comfortable there and at that home and at that place that I think, "Oh, you know, He might be right," and I stop listening to God's call to go and I start staying until I've stayed too long? See, if I'm loving God the most in that situation, I'm following God, even though my friend may not want me to go. Surely my friend will understand God calls us to go sometimes. God calls us to be something sometimes our family doesn't want us to be. You know, when I had to surrender to the call of ministry, my wife was already married to me. She didn't know nothing about that. I like to share people with this. I hope I don't embarrass her with this, but I'm going to tell you. Because following God is not just me. It's a family that has to follow God. And here we were. We were married already 7 years, I guess, and we're coming home. We're driving home from Norfolk, visit family in South Carolina. And I was weighing heavy, second enlistment. You know, I had planned to stay and retire. But I said, you know, I gotta listen to God. And so I, talking to my wife and kids in the back seat, I don't know if they were asleep or not, but I looked at her and I said, you know, what if I decided to leave the Navy? Okay. She was going to be with me wherever I went. What if I decide to leave the Navy and become a preacher? And she slid all the way to the other side of the car. And she said, I didn't marry no preacher. Okay. I didn't give up loving her because of that. She didn't give up loving me because of that. But God began our journey there until we got here. But I still had to love God in order for us to get here. And so we have to be willing to tell our family and our loved ones, I'm serving God. And invite them to come along, whatever that cross might be. They're going to have to help me carry it. So God says, you know, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. You must tell the world I'm following God. And then once the world knows that, you keep following him. Even whatever that challenge may come from, whether it's a spouse or a mom or a dad, it doesn't matter. But you don't hate them. You love them. And you move forward together. But there may come a point in life where mom and dad and your ideas of serving God differ. And you have to say, from here, I'm moving forward. Stay home. I'll come back and visit. Abraham called out of his home. Follow me. I'll show you a land. Never been there. Never seen it. Leave your family behind and come to a land I'll show you. So he packed up and left. He got there. When he finally got there, you know what he found? Famine. There was a famine in the land. A lot of people would have packed up and went back home. But Abraham stayed because he knew there was a promise in God for him to be there and for him to become a great nation. And Abraham followed God and trusted in his word. And that's all Jesus is saying to us. Love me more than anything and follow me first. And I will bless you. And if you follow God and you love God first, he will bless you. He'll bless your family. Amen. He will care for you. He will be there with you along the journey. Even when you get where you think it's supposed to be the best blessing in the world and you find famine, guess what? God is still with you. God's going to test you along the way. You say, but that's not fair. Well, that's life, isn't it? Is life fair? How many of you found out life was fair when in all your years you found out life was fair? I look back at life and I think, man, that was just fair all the way down the road. And that's the world. I'd sure much rather be in the hands of God so when fairness isn't there, I still have God to care for me. And to hold me in the palm of his hands as I'm still trying to get to that place he's calling me. I'm not running to evil. See, this is what we're talking about. If we're not going to run to evil, we've got to ask ourselves, well, where am I? If I'm running a race, where am I running to? What am I running after? Is it going to be worth it for me to run this race? I'm going to tell you, if you're running for Jesus Christ and toward Jesus Christ, it will always be worth it. Will there be cost? Sure. Will there be heartaches? Yes. Will there be times of trouble? No doubt. But He's going to be there. He's going to love you. He's going to care. There will be moments when you have no idea you're going to meet whatever it is you've got to meet that need for, and all of a sudden, it's met. It's just met. How many times has God answered small prayer in our life just to leave us abandoned when something big shows up? No. Now, don't blame Him for some of the seeds that might be growing from last week, though. And you came in on Sunday, it's already too late. Them things have sprouted. All right? But trust God to help you clean the garden and to move forward and to get rid of those weeds and those bees and those ants. I don't know, we want to keep the bees though because they help pollinate. Let's get rid of the ants because they just bite. Discipleship is difficult. And we know that. So how do we choose the right path? Serving self and the world or serving God and trying to follow a path of righteousness? Paul says in Thessalonians that we should test all things and hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Ask yourself before you do it, before you get it, is it worth it? Is this going to cost me more than I'm willing to pay? Is this going to make me cry? How many of you ever asked that question before? Is this going to make me cry? Is this going to bring pain in my life? Is this going to bring guilt to me? You know, we ask a lot of questions, and it's good to ask questions as we walk and travel through life, but sometimes we don't ask the right ones. Instead of saying, oh, Lord, I really need this. Can I have it? We need to stop and say, Lord, is this going to cost me more than I want to pay? Lord, is this going to bring guilt into my heart? Lord, am I going to honor You in this? It's the question and the perspective that the questions can bring to our understandings about what it is we're about to do. We don't want to run to evil. And if we even get the slightest hint that we're moving in the wrong direction toward evil, we need to stop. And we need to move away from it, to abstain from every form of evil. And we only find out when we give it a test. God, is this going to honor You? If I can sum the test up, that's it. God, is this going to honor You? Am I going to be able to honor You in this? Am I going to be able to honor You in this? Because how many of us who have known the love of Christ and have experienced the love of Christ want to turn to Him and say, you know, just leave me alone for a while. I want to do what I want to do. We can talk about it later. Is that really how we want to approach it? No, that's not what we want. That's not who we want to be. That's not what we want God to see in us. We want to be God's people. And we want to have our feet carrying us on a path of righteousness, of joy and of compassion, of hope, of things like this that we can share. There's so many people out there in the world that are broken, and that's what they need. They don't need another drink. They don't need another pop of dope or whatever it might be. What they need is someone to love them and care for them. That's what they need. And that's the path we should be walking. We don't turn our backs to them. We're looking for those that are broken and needing help and healing because we want them to find Christ. We want them to see His goodness. We want them to hear the testimony of how we might have even been in their same place except God. Except God. Except God. He loved me. We need to be on that path, don't you think? That's the path that I want to follow. That's the path that I want to travel, even if it's a little bit rocky at times. If I stumble a little bit every once in a while, because that's the path God is walking with me on. And how wonderful it is to be walking on a pair of feet that is honoring God. It's wonderful. Y'all know how wonderful it is. Even God has mentioned that in His words to us through His prophet Isaiah. He said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who proclaim peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." How beautiful are the feet of those who carry the testimony of salvation in Christ. You know why it's beautiful? Because we're not standing over anyone and judging them. We're not lording over them. We're not walking in there with a proud look. One of those things that God says He does not like. We're not coming in there with lying tongues about how the world is full of rainbows and butterflies, because we know that's not true. We've been broken. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news and proclaim peace. We turn to them and we find them and we give them the testimony of our life. You afraid to share your life with people? That's your testimony. That's what shines before the world. If you want to be an example, be that example. Broken, but repaired. Sick, but healing. Without hope, my joy doesn't end because of Christ. That's the path we need to be on. That's how our feet need to carry us in life. That's what honors God and shows our love for Him. That's being His people and loving those that haven't yet become His people but are well on their way, if someone would just share the goodness of Christ. So that's my challenge to you today. Can you be what God needs you to be? Can you walk that path? Can you run that race? Turn away from that which is calling you into evilness and wickedness, and face Christ and say, "Lord, help me. Help me onto this path and be with me. Strengthen me. And I give you the honor and the praise." Can you be that person today? If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's the only way you're going to get on the path with God. And so today I want you to know it's not hard. It does take a little walking, a little journey though. Begins in your heart, believing in Jesus Christ, confessing that you are a sinner. All of us have to do that. We all are sinners. But trusting that He will forgive us. And He will create within us a new heart and fill that new heart with joy. He's not going to take that new heart. It'd be like going into the kitchen and getting a glass that's got milk been sitting in a week and just pouring it in the sink, not washing it, and then pouring Coke in it and trying to drink it. That's not going to work, is it? That is not going to work. Don't ask me to try. Well, don't ask God to take your old wicked heart and just fill it up with something new. He's going to clean that thing. And then when He pours that joy into it, how sweet it will be. how wonderful it would be. But it begins at the cross with Christ. Will you come while there's time? Father, I thank you so much again for this day. I thank you for the blessings of your love and all of its meaning, the hope and the joy. And Lord, that I may still stumble in life from time to time, you are always there to help me and to pick me up, to dust me off and to give me a hug of encouragement. And Father, I thank you for loving me so much. Lord, forgive us all and strengthen us as your people. And Lord, if there is one who still needs to find the hope and the joy of salvation in you, I pray, Father, today, speak to them, call to them, and open their hearts and their ears so they can hear and receive the good news of your love. And I ask it only to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come while there's time?